You're tuned in to KBOO Portland, 90.7 on your FM dial.
K282BH Philomer on 104.3 FM.
And K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
And streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Volunteer-powered community radio.
KBOO.
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 Have an old car taking up space? Donate it to KBOO. Your unused vehicle can become music to our ears, powering independent radio that amplifies diverse voices and community perspectives. It's easy and hassle-free. Either visit kboo.fm/cars or call 1-877-KBOO-123. You'll get a tax deduction and the satisfaction of supporting local independent media. Donate your car to KBOO Community Radio today and drive change in your community.
Hello and welcome to Pathways, where you are invited to join me for a visit with leaders in personal development and cultural evolution. This is your host, Paul O'Brien. Well, we have a fun show for you today featuring an old friend, John Gray, who wrote one of the best-selling books of all time, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. In this era of gender confusion and shifting roles, John offers intelligent insights that I feel are in support of the old French expression, vive la différence. With respect to the societal goals of equal rights and equal opportunities and equal pay, our esteemed guest offers an even-handed scientific appraisal of relations between the sexes in support of both individual autonomy and interpersonal intimacy. Our guest on Pathways is none other than John Gray, author of several books since Men Are From Mars, too many to mention. I've been a follower of Dr. Gray's work since the mid-1980s when I listened to pirated cassette tapes of lectures he gave via that medium back in the old days. I interviewed him shortly after the publication of his blockbuster Men Are From Mars. In chatting after that KBOO interview, which was taped in the old KBOO studios around 1990, it came to light, unbeknownst to either one of us, that he had been one of my earliest I Ching software customers, telling me that he and his wife Bonnie loved my app, which was called Synchronicity, my modernized version of the ancient I Ching Oracle, one of the world's oldest books and most revered divination systems. Talk about synchronicity. Well, I have learned so much from John since that first fateful interview, and I will always feel deeply grateful. Hello, John, and welcome back to the Pathways Show. It's always great fun picking your incredible brain.
Paul, it's a pleasure to be with you, and I still use your app. It's fantastic.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that. Well, we've learned a lot since Men Are From Mars came out, and society's changed quite a bit, too. I'd like to catch up on some of the latest science and sociology of sex differences today. And I remember back soon after the publication of Men Are From Mars, you were practically demonized by a feminist clique who took offense at the idea that males and females are naturally different. It seemed they wanted to believe that it was all cultural conditioning. And you basically were not trying to portray one as superior to the other. You were just pointing out, we're going to do a lot better if we understand each other. Is that a fair characterization?
Oh, you summarize it all so wonderfully. And, you know, it's not like we're not conditioned by our society. To a great extent today, men are conditioned to be overly feminine and women are conditioned to be overly masculine. And, you know, I believe that it's great for us as individuals to express both masculine and feminine qualities. The challenge is if we're stressed, if somebody's unhappy and stressed in their life, then to me, it's a very clear symptom from one point of view that their male and female hormones are out of balance. This is just basic science. This is not undisputed, is that we have something called stress hormones. And when a woman is producing stress hormones, her masculine hormones are dominating and her feminine hormones are too low according to healthy standards. And when a man is stressed, fight or flight, when he's in that situation, his body is producing the hormone cortisol. In every case, his hormones are out of balance. His male hormones are too low, and his female hormones are too high, according to basic standard that's not exactly the same for every person, but generally speaking, a man, when he's feeling good, makes about 10 times more testosterone than a woman. And a woman, when she's feeling very good, she's making about 10 times more estrogen, 10 times more estrogen than a man. And when she's romantically inclined, she's going to be producing 20 times more estrogen than a man normally does. So it behooves us to recognize that at times of stress, we're hormonally out of balance, and that has a lot to do with the behaviors we're doing. Do they stimulate female hormones? Do they stimulate male hormones? And learn to regulate our actions, our relationships in such a way that they stimulate the right balance of hormones. And that's what I focus on now. It's quite wonderful.
You know, I thought testosterone was like 30 times for men than it is for women, on average, of course. But it's only 10 now. Is that the latest science?
It can be 20 times. For men, there's a big fluctuation. What I said was at least 10 times more than a woman. And women's testosterone fluctuates a lot too. So, and they have actually much higher testosterone than estrogen. But when you look at the relationship between a man and a woman, how it's different, a man's testosterone could be 10, 20, 30 times higher than a woman's, without a doubt. And within the range of men, just to know that, in my research, according to shoulder size, if you look at these men with very broad shoulders, they are required to produce 20 to 30 times more testosterone. Otherwise, they will go into fight or flight. So you'll see, men with very wide shoulders will often, they're called mesomorph type body type, but they will tend to be the dominant policemen. They'll be the dominant men in prisons. They'll be the dominant men in the army because they need heroic roles in life. Sort of life and death situations make you feel heroic. Whenever a man feels heroic, his testosterone levels will go to much higher levels when people are trusting, depending on them, appreciating them, grateful for them. And a man with less wide shoulder, there are different body types, an ectomorph it's called. They don't require as much acknowledgement and praise. They don't always take dangerous jobs that nobody wants to do. When you think about those hurricanes in Florida, you'll see these guys get out in their trucks and they're braving the weather, and there's other guys who are just sitting down at home in their computers watching them do it. They need to do that. And then when I brought up the point when I teach in prisons, you'll see a lot of these type men, not all, only those, but it's because if they don't have a childhood or a life that supports feeling successful, then what happens is their testosterone levels, which need to be high, will drop. And when his testosterone levels drop, that's a sign he's in fight or flight. So they'll have a bigger temper, they'll be angry, they lose control as one of the fight or flight responses.
And so it makes sense then, if we're going to hire people to do jobs that require a higher level of testosterone, that men would be preferred for that kind of thing, like firefighting or fighting in the army. And of course, there's a lot of backlash against that kind of thinking. But what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I remember doing a show once and finding a statistic from Israel that women fighter pilots actually do better than men. Now, from my own researches, that's what I've heard from them, because women have an ability to complete, when they're feeling danger, they will completely shut off their female hormones and go straight to pure male hormones. And so, again, it's always about the balance of estrogen and testosterone. So, really can't say that. But we can say, and I know this from my own experience being a consultant for the US Army, which is that when women come back from combat situations, they have the highest rate of divorce of any condition. Almost they all come home and get divorced. And what I would attribute that to is that when a woman is in danger, her testosterone levels shoot up, but her estrogen levels go down, and therefore her stress levels will be higher. When a woman's man or woman's stress levels are higher, their ability to love and for bonding and feel bonding with someone is diminished. Cortisol inhibits our ability to bond. If you look at some research that was done with thousands and thousands of women in the workplace, they found that women had double the stress levels of men on average. Now, this isn't every woman, but this is an average. But, you know, you look at these averages, her stress levels were double in the workplace. And when she came home, whether she was married or not, compared to a man, her stress levels would double again. So again, these are when women are in environments that promote testosterone, it will raise stress for women unless, and here's the key to this, which is why I say there's no one thing for anybody. If she's in a job that produces a lot of testosterone, that will be fight or flight, dangerous job, having to make decisions, pressures, responsibilities, deadlines, sacrifice to make money. All those kind of things are big testosterone producers. If she's in that environment, but she also has a personal life, this is called work-life balance. If she has a personal life, which will support her feminine hormones, a loving relationship, supportive relationship life, then by anticipating coming home to that, her stress levels will not be as high.
It's okay. So you think it's very...
The research actually shows that married women are much healthier than single women. That's a fact.
And because they're more in balance, you mean, with their estrogen and their oxytocin?
That's what I would assume. Yeah. They have more, you know, hormones. They're supporting those. When you're alone as a woman, I'm not saying women can't be happy being alone, but it's not as easy to keep your estrogen levels up. There's other things you can do besides feeling loved and supported by a man in order to keep your estrogen levels up. But that's sort of the whole dynamic of a marriage, where you feel he's committed to you, he's a safe zone for you, he's supportive of you, you can ask for help, you can be vulnerable. All those activities help a woman's estrogen levels to go very high.
Okay, because I was just going to ask you that. How a man can dramatically increase a woman's estrogen level. And you're saying by making her feel safe, by giving her an environment of security. That sound right?
Yeah, that would be part of it, a big part of it. An environment of security produces oxytocin. When a woman feels oxytocin, she feels safe, or when she feels safe, oxytocin gets produced. Just simply massaging her in a non-sexual way can produce oxytocin, which is really great for couples to know. You know, when she loses interest in sex, it's when it happens, it's her estrogen levels are too low. The higher a woman's estrogen levels go, biologically, it's proven that her interest in sex goes up equally. So sex is feeling safe, and then she feels I can depend on him for something of value and meaning for me, and that's what brings her estrogen levels up.
I thought it was testosterone that was the hormone of sexual desire.
You're right. So let me expand on what I just said. In a woman's brain, what happens is when her estrogen levels reach higher and higher levels, the luteinizing hormone gets produced, which causes her adrenal gland to produce testosterone and increase her desire for penetration and sex. So this is why a woman could have sex with her husband, and she's really not that much in the mood, but she says, I love him. I like to, you know, make him happy. Not so much I feel obligated, I have to do it, but, you know, she's not really that much in the mood, but he is, and they connect together, and he's good at foreplay. The foreplay can produce the oxytocin. It could then raise her estrogen. He can do things that are pleasing to her. And as her estrogen levels rise, then suddenly she goes, yeah, I really like this. I want to have sex. And this is what happens in couples. For if they don't understand this, men are waiting for their wives to want to have sex. And a woman's saying, I don't want to have sex. Well, let's just do some cuddling in bed and touch each other and see what happens. And then she can kick into gear after the hormonal requirements are there, which is for, you know, most men, at least it is up to a certain age, they don't need any hormonal requirements, just an available woman. It shifts a bit for men as they become more mature, more enlightened, more heartfelt, more connected to their partner, which happens through marriage quite often. And then what happens is it's hard for him to be turned on to her unless she's interested in having sex, because he can already feel what's going on inside of her. You know, a more enlightened man does not want to have sex with somebody who doesn't want to have sex with him. Maybe an immature male does, or a horrible person. But
there tends to be, I mean, I read a lot about the mismatch in sexual desire between men and women, where the man can't tell if the woman ever wants to have sex. I've talked to many men in my men's group who say, my wife or girlfriend never initiates sex. And it's like they make a problem out of it. And I think, well, I don't care as long as she's responsive when I, warm up to her. What do you think?
Well, you're right, exactly what men will feel like. I'm the one who has to initiate sex all the time. And I'll tell you an interesting story. When I was one of my clients in sexual counseling, the guy said she never wants to have sex, and her response is, "That's not true." And he said, "Well, how am I supposed to know that you want to have sex? You don't tell me." So the solution there was they had two candles, and whenever she was in the mood for sex, she'd light her candle, and then he would initiate sex. Because after a while, men don't initiate sex unless they're really horny. And when a man's really horny, it's a pressure on a woman to perform. And that very pressure on her to perform actually inhibits her desire to have sex. So there's a lot of dynamics when it comes to that. And this is part of the whole idea of the war of the sexes of, him wanting sex and she doesn't, or when she starts wanting sex, he doesn't. And good communication can help a lot. But also what I was just saying is, as men get older, it's hard for them to be turned on to their partner because they don't sense their partner's in the mood. A younger man doesn't have that much connection, so he still wants to have sex even if she's not in the mood. And that's good if they just start out with cuddling and see if she can get in the mood. So
Right.
that's one thing. As you get older, because you're more intuitive, you're more sensitive, you're more caring, you're more bonded, he can already tell she's not in the mood for sex because she's not getting the foreplay she needs, and therefore he's not in the mood. So it's very important that couples take the time, even when he doesn't want to have sex or she doesn't want to have sex, you take in this time to get into bed at least every week to create an opportunity for her to get in the mood to have sex. And then when she's in the mood to have sex, that triggers his desire to have sex. This is one of the solutions for men who can't get it up. Well, they can't get it up because his body thinks she doesn't want to have sex. She doesn't want to have sex until her estrogen goes high enough. Then she will start to feel that luteinizing hormone, her desire, and that will then awaken in him his desire, and he suddenly is like a young guy and wants to have sex.
Well, now you do a lot of counseling of couples and women, and I hear about women, wives, et cetera, who never want to have sex. Ever since they had menopause, they quote, lost sexual desire, and so they're
Yeah,
never in the mood. Yeah, what do
some
you
of my
do? What do you do? What do you do in a case like that? And she's not giving him permission to go to Las Vegas or anything.
I just gave the answer. I was just describing the situation with women. When women stop having interest in sex, there's a lot of relationship dynamics that have shut her down. I can list them. I mean, arguments and fights. She doesn't feel safe. Financial struggles. She doesn't feel safe. She worries a lot. She doesn't have enough opportunity to process her feelings so she can lower her stress. When a woman is chronically stressed, she can't be in the mood for sex, typically. So, and he as well needs to feel his wife wants to have sex. After a while, he won't be ha wanting to have sex either. I talk to my friends at our age, and they go, "Oh, I don't care about sex anymore." I say, "Yeah, you don't care about it because it's not sticking up. When your penis rises up, you go, "I want some sex." But it's
That's right.
knowing that this is very important for our longevity, for our health, for our vitality. It's why marriage is so special. It's the one person you share this with. It makes it more special. But at the same time, I'll throw this in here, it's an obstacle when you're married to somebody, you make that commitment, allows women to more easily go to a higher level of estrogen because they feel special and they're not threatened and all that. There's a greater sense of security. But when she feels that, what happens with married men is that they start to produce a different hormone than when they're having sex in the beginning, or if they're having a sex with a one-night stand or a woman he's not committed to, or he's just doing porn. When a man masturbates, for example, he doesn't make much of the hormone prolactin. Prolactin inhibits sexual desire. It's in there because when a man gets married, what happens, his body starts making a lot of prolactin, so he doesn't feel the urge to wander. So he has greater tendency to stay with his wife. Sex is no longer so important to him. And that's what happens to a lot of couples with this prolactin. However, you override the prolactin that inhibits sexual desire if you have relationship skills, which is what I teach in my book, Beyond Mars and Venus, how to create polarity in your relationship. Because polarity means a biological polarity occurs when a man's testosterone is way higher than hers and her estrogen is way higher than his. That's the polarity of he's more masculine, she's more feminine. And that's like the two poles of a magnet, which when they come together, the positive and negative pole, they'll click. And when they click, that's the spark of excitement. People have that in the beginning of a relationship because there's so much dopamine due to the newness of the relationship. It naturally raises a man's testosterone levels up really high. It raises a woman's estrogen up really high. And that polarity of two opposite forces creates a powerful attraction. That goes away
Called
over
chemistry.
Time. That's all chemistry. It's all biology. And so what we can do is consciously interact with our partners in such a way that she, at least when you're home and you're together, she feels more feminine. He feels more masculine. He's making those masculine hormones. She's making those feminine hormones. And I've read a 400-page book on everything you can do to help raise a man's testosterone and what he has to do for himself and what women can do to keep their estrogen levels up. And after menopause, they're never going to get as high as they were when she was young, but it still can have be orgasmic and enjoy sex as long as she has the right balance between her estrogen and her testosterone levels.
So why is having high testosterone so important for a man's health in general?
Okay, so anytime a man's testosterone is too low according to the charts, he will be producing stress hormones. When his testosterone levels are going healthy and high, he's basically the antidote to stress hormones. Most people misinterpret testosterone levels as, oh, a man with his high testosterone causes him to be angry. When a man is angry, actually his testosterone is going down and his estrogen is going too high. But it is a link to high testosterone men. If you look at the men with high testosterone levels, if they have a drop in those levels, then they will be angry. And so they need more support, more awareness of success in order to keep those testosterone levels high. Somebody doesn't have as great a need due to their body type as a man. You require certain hormones in order to function. You have a certain body mass that has to be supported. Ironically, if men who are more muscular, if they spend too much of their energy making muscles, their testosterone levels become very low because they use up their testosterone to make those big muscles, which was my first revelation back in the 70s or 80s, studying all these magazines for weightlifters. And I was like, so curious as a young man, they were all young men, why they needed libido pills. There were always libido pills in muscle magazines.
Wow.
Because when you build muscles, if you do it too much, you lose your libido for your wife and your partner. And the only way you can be turned on is with a strange woman because there's so much dopamine, a stranger woman or with yourself.
Now, your latest book is Beyond Mars and Venus, Relationship Skills for Our Complex Modern World. What skills are most important? And
For women, for example, they need to be aware that when they're on their male side so much, that's the big shift, is women are more on their male side. It will create a polarity switch, which causes men to go more to their female side. For example, if a woman is really busy around the house, busy solving problems, that's her male side. It will make a man lazy. If she asks for his help to do something, he'll be energized as long as he has an awareness that if I help out, she will appreciate me. It's when a woman appreciates what a man does, is that's basically what raises his testosterone, is to feel appreciated. In couples where the woman is dependent on a man for money, this is more traditional relationships, she has a lot of appreciation because with that money, she can do the things she likes to do, raise her children, have a life, doesn't have to do hard, difficult jobs, she gets to do what she likes. What a great life if a man makes enough money and that provides that for her. So when he goes to work and he works hard, she has no demands on him. She just thinks he's the greatest guy in the world. But when she's out working and he's out working, he doesn't get credit, so to speak. She can't appreciate how much money he makes because she's also going through the grind to make money too. So it's that it neutralizes. So what do you do then is you have to have other ways to create polarity. And the polarity is when a woman's way on her male side, she has to become aware that she has a need to come back to her female side. How does she come back to her female side? Some basic tools for that are communication. She needs to take time, at least 10 minutes a day or every other day, take time to share with her partner things that are bothering her that have nothing to do with him. Otherwise, he'll just hear blame. But to share frustrations from her job, disappointments at work, disappointments with her children, fears and concerns, worries, feelings of embarrassment, feelings of shame that have nothing to do with him, so he doesn't feel attacked or blamed, he'll be able to listen wonderfully. And so He will hear what she's going through, and that's called empathy. And men, ironically, are the most empathetic. Women can be so cold hearted. That's like the it's like we all know that, you know, there's no wrath like a woman's scorned woman's wrath. And if you look in the, you know, Tibetan literature and so forth, which I know you're into, you look at the male virtue is compassion, you know, loving compassion. That's all for masculinity. And for women, it's wisdom. Sophia, she's the goddess of wisdom. And women right. do have this, you know, men do have this compassion. But when our hormones are out of balance, then men have the opposite of compassion. We become heartless and cruel. And when women's hormones are out of balance, they lose their wisdom and they forget how to bring out the best in their partner, so to speak, how to look at the world as grace and possibilities rather than feeling victimized. Whenever we're feeling we are victims and powerless to create what we want, we've lost our wisdom. And that's our female side. So
right.
yeah, so the practical skills I was talking about was learning to share the negative emotions that are inside of her, because being on her male side, she's suppressing them all. When
right.
I'm on my male, I'm not suppressing them. I don't have them. And if I have them, all I have to do is analyze them and say, well, I'm making a big deal out of nothing. I'm overreacting. As a matter of fact, something shocking for people, I didn't learn till I was older, and I really understood that all negativity is just overreaction. At least for me as a man, I can rationalize that so easily. If ever I'm upset about anything, I ask my wife, I say, just tell me, stop, you're overreacting. Let it go, suck it up. And I like that message. It's like remembering, yes, I'm a man. I don't have to indulge in all this negative emotion, but women do. But they need to indulge in it from the point of view of not sharing their upsets with their partner about their partner, but process their emotions about other things, raise their estrogen, their stress levels go down, and then they're not upset with their partner anymore. We just make up all these problems. We make it worse. And once we make it worse, it accelerates and becomes worse. We are our own worst enemies.
Right, right. Wow. You know, there's so much we can talk about. In this book, Beyond Mars and Venus, the Relationship Skills book, it's got so much stuff in there. We could do a whole show just about some of these skills and how they've changed since the last 25 years, since you wrote Men Are From Mars. I wish we had time. We are basically already out of time today. And I just want to thank you, John, for being on the show. There's so much more we could explore, but we'll have to do it in the context of another show, because today
you're such a pro. You do such a great job.
Oh, thanks, John. You make it easy, man. You are so much fun. And I want to be sure to tell our listeners about your website too, which is marsvenus.com. Pretty simple, marsvenus.com. Now, for those who may have tuned into Pathways late, this is your host, Paul O'Brien, author of Intuitive Intelligence, a book that shares the theme of Pathways, which is personal and cultural evolution. And don't worry, you can play and or share this interview with John Gray whenever you want via the internet or as a free podcast, and I'll tell you how in a minute. Today, we've been visiting with Dr. John Gray, author of so many books, most famously, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, and more recently, Beyond Mars and Venus, Relationship Skills for Our Complex Modern World. I want to say thank you to all of our listeners for tuning into Pathways, which is broadcast and streamed on the internet at www.kboo.fm every Sunday morning at 8:30 USA Pacific Time. And even better, podcasts of today's show, which you can listen to and forward to others, are available for free at divination.com. That's spelled divination.com, as well as via iTunes, Paulo's YouTube channel, and other free podcast servers. This is Paul O'Brien reminding you to tell your friends about Pathways Radio and Podcasts. And thanks again to John Gray and to all of you listeners for tuning in and being a part of the Pathways conversation. We'll be right back.
are listening to KBOO Portland.
Here we go again. It's the game we love.
Play game.
Tune in on the first and third Tuesday of the month at 11 a.m. for Winner's Bias, a new show exploring the culture around tabletop gaming. From game nights to conventions, Nate and James share